My name is Alan Steinfeld, and my program is called New Realities. Each week, I go deep into the understanding of how we can start to change the planet, how new ideas can be presented to the world to unfold a greater civilization. Welcome back to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the exploration of consciousness. And for me, my interest is how are we interfacing with this bigger phenomena that seems to be appearing in our world. I mean, it's been here a long time, but the UFO, UAP phenomena is really pressing down of an awareness on our consciousness. And that's why I'm so happy to be talking to Carolyn Boulard. I found her on Substack at the Coming Galactic Age. And I thought the essays and insights and blogs were so insightful that here's someone who understood the phenomena in a way that I appreciate and was thinking about it intelligently. So welcome, Carolyn, to this.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
And the other thing is that you also have this understanding of consciousness and this evolution. So my first question, how do you think, and I don't know who has the answer, how consciousness, the evolution of consciousness, is really connected to the UFO phenomenon? What's your thoughts about that?
Sure. Well, I think they're inextricably linked. So maybe just at a broader level, I think I always come back to consciousness. I think it's the medium through which all experience happens. I think it's the intelligence that's animating our world. It's what connects us all together. And it's really the larger purpose of why we exist. Mm-hmm. And I actually love that you started with this question, because I've been thinking lately, there's a human need to want to categorize and like build this taxonomy and view the phenomenon as something outside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. But when we step back through the largest lens of consciousness, it's like we are all part of this grand web, this perception. So what we call non-human intelligence, in my mind, is just another fractal of source consciousness that's chosen a different kind of experience. Mm-hmm. You and I are here as humans. We're having a human experience. That's the perception that we've chosen. Yeah. They're another form of consciousness that's chosen a perception to be Palladian, for example, or interdimensional, or from Orion. So it really takes us out of the us and them and focuses more on the relationship, which to me is what contact and disclosure is all about.
But how do you do, I mean, it's a sort of medium, but how do you, I mean, I've heard hundreds of definitions of consciousness. How would you define it from your point of view?
Yeah. So to me, it's intricately linked with the nature of our reality. So for me, consciousness is synonymous with that infinite intelligence. It's sort of a self-organizing, self-processing, self-optimizing, self-contained system that's inherently intelligent, that I believe the greatest urge or purpose or essence of consciousness is to expand and evolve. And so there are all these different like infinite potentials and experiences we can have as consciousness experiencing itself. Mm-hmm. If you think of it, like it's not expanding into space, it's becoming more intricate, more rich, more nuanced, more complex. That's sort of the nature and the drive even within us as humans to have new experiences.
Yes.
And to bring awareness to it.
Is it like a medium, like water is a medium for like fish? Would you say that we're immersed in this consciousness field? Does that make sense?
Yes, but I would say we are the field.
We are.
It's like
the we that is who is the field, which.
Well, and so here's where it gets, these are the kind of questions that philosophers and now quantum physicists and, religious folks tackle with. It's the big question, like, who are we? Mm-hmm. And, what I've come to understand largely in part due to the prompting and teachings of interdimensional and higher dimensional beings is that we are all aspects of source consciousness, the all that is. You know, some people call it God. I don't personally use that word just because of the baggage that some people and the connotations that go along with it. But, you know, we are, like, as I said, fractals of that source consciousness, an entirety that dispersed its energy infinitely into these individuated perceptions so that it could experience itself in infinite ways. So it's like you and I have the sense of being individual, and we were, you know, what would be the point of only having one perception or one experience? So there's all of us that are collectively feeding into the field and building that experience for us all.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's just so it is nuanced. That's a good way of putting it. But I have to just throw one thing in here that's sort of off the topic. Have you listened to the telepathy tapes?
Yes, every single one, and I loved it. And
Isn't it that expands consciousness? If you haven't heard it, watch it in a whole new way. How does that change consciousness, or how, what expanded for you as far as consciousness when you heard those tapes or those?
well, yeah, I mean, to me, like, actually, it was really cool that I even, like, found the telepathy tapes, because to me that was like my consciousness drawing in information about consciousness, which is obviously something I'm interested in. But I thought it was a really great, you know, people like you and I are familiar and not probably overly shocked to learn about things like telepathy, but I loved it for, like, the entry point it provides to people who might not consider these sorts of things. You know, I found it very compelling. And one of the, like, most interesting anecdotes in that thing, in that podcast to me, like, they talk about these kids. So for those of you who haven't watched it, it's, you know, dives into the lives of nonverbal autistic children who are able to, who are highly intelligent and highly evolved. They just can't speak, and so they communicate telepathically. But it's not just that. Like, there's a story of one boy, if you remember, who it's like he could just put his hand on a book and absorb all the knowledge in the book. And it really speaks to sort of the non-local nature of everything, that consciousness is really information. And it's like these people have learned, and, you know, and to a certain extent, this is happening through remote viewing and other things. It's like learn to tune in to that information and receive it conceptually
Well, you're
and even physically.
right, because I teach remote viewing, and it just showed me that when you shut off these parts of your brain that are the monkey mind, the logical mind, and you make yourself available to what I call right brain perception, or non-logical, or whatever you want to call that thing that's non-linear, that we can know a lot more of the world than we can, but the education is geared towards just logic and left brain awareness. So, but these kids, oh my God, this really changes the whole consciousness field in a huge, huge way. And I was shocked and happy. And it's the next level, I think, that these telepathy tabs. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, I hope that it will, and it sounds like it is attracting more funding for scientific studies and to be taken seriously. And yeah, it honestly kind of blows my mind a little bit too. Like, I don't spend a whole lot of time in comments, but looking at some of them, you know, I understand people being skeptical, and this really is, I think, one of the, I think it was maybe in the last episode, one of the young women was expressing, like, what's coming is a cataclysmic shift in how we perceive reality. You know,
Absolutely. This is what's so exciting about everything.
absolutely.
And I think the UFO, whatever you want to call the UAP thing, is a part of that cataclysmic shift. about reality. And I want to show you this clip. I'll show it a little later. The guy, Jacob Barber, who's a whistleblower who picked up this extraterrestrial craft, but had this transformational epiphany moment. And I thought that was the best part of the interview. But before I get there, I wanted to hear about your personal, if you don't mind sharing. Who have you met? What's been your experience of your contact? And yeah, and go into detail and tell me how you were transformed.
Well, it's been a bit of a journey, like I think it is for most people, though I think it's, I have the sense that it's a journey that I'm being like deliberately guided along. So, without going kind of too far back, just say, you know, I was always kind of a mystically inclined child, though a lot of times that made me kind of scared. So I kind of pushed away some of this stuff. Like I was really scared of ghosts. I think that world was kind of close to me and I didn't have a framework really for processing it. But I had sort of a first awakening around when I was 20. And I was living in, I moved to Boulder, Colorado, and ended up being roommates with an older woman who was in, who hosted a channeling group in her, in our living room. So that was great. So I, you know, I was interested in that. I joined that. And that's where I first got introduced to the concept of channeling, which I'm sure your audience is familiar with.
Was that
And I,
shocking for you, the channel? Because when I first heard channeling, I was like, no, this is just not, this woman's fake. And then I had this
yeah.
this mystical experience, but yeah, so it was new.
I don't know that I was overly skeptical, though I did have questions, and I think it's normal and natural to want to vet some of these things, but I eventually within that group had an experience where it was a one of the women, I did a private session with her, and I had invoked just in my mind the violet flame. And she was like, "Did you just invoke the violet flame?" And I was like, "Whoa." And just the information that she had about me and the way she was able to meet me exactly where I was at that point in my life as like a 21-year-old, sort of convinced me. But, so I was sort of in that for a bit, but then just my life kind of took another course. I graduated college. I got sucked into, you know, climbing the, getting a job and climbing the corporate ladder. So I kind of, you know, somewhat, I called my 30s sort of my lost decade. I don't really mean that all things serve us. And I'm finding now how some of those skills that I developed, you know, in my corporate life are useful to me now. But anyway, I reached a point around my 40th birthday where I just, it was like I had the great job and the great potential. I was married. I had the big house, the dog, you know, plenty of money, all the stuff. But I just wasn't, I just didn't feel the way I thought I was gonna feel. You know, I just wasn't happy. There was just this sense of something missing.
That's such a common story for people
It
who
is.
have bought the American dream and you have everything and you real well, I never took that path because I already grew up with that. You know, I grew up with the big house and the dog and it's like I don't want to do that again. I want to do something unknown. But anyway, you were totally dissatisfied. So how do you unravel from that? I mean, and whatever, you don't have to get too personal, but
Well, it took a while, you know, but it's this is one of those things where like a book showed start came into my awareness, and then eventually
oh, what book
so I
was
started
that?
reading.
What book? I'm curious.
It was Light is the New Black. It was a Rebecca Campbell. It was all about kind of finding your light and finding your passion and reawakening your dreams. And, you know, I had to go back. It's like when I was younger, I wanted to be a writer. And I was like, hey, where did that go? You know, and I did write in my professional life, but, you know, like regulatory filings, like not quite the same. But I ended up, coming across this woman who was fairly new in her channeling. She was like an accountant, and I was in Minnesota at the time. She was in Wisconsin, and she channeled a group of interdimensional beings. And
What were they called? Because I always track channels because
yeah, they're referred to as the collective. I don't know that she's
I think I've heard of
active
them.
at the moment,
I think I've heard
completely.
of them, though. I think
It could
maybe.
be.
Yeah. But anyway,
She probably wouldn't
that.
mind me saying it's this woman. Her name's Kelly Thebo, and she channels the
I
collective.
don't know
And
her.
yet, not many people know about her, which was actually great at the time, because she offered one-on-one sessions, and her specialty was small group mentoring. So she did classes that were limited to like 10 or 12 people. So, we had it was all based on personal transformation. So, under their guidance, so to speak, as well as my own introspection, I just started asking really big questions of myself, and they started sharing. They teach us about the physics principles that rule this plane of existence, as they like to say. And, because they exist at that higher dimension, they could see everything about me. And so it was so transformational to be working with people from that love. And I refer to them just kind of as people, and our vocabulary isn't
No, I
probably
know
all there
exactly
for
what you
that.
mean. They're
Yeah.
entities, beings, whatever you want to call
Yeah.
them. Yeah.
But so anyway, like I was doing this intense personal growth work, getting into all the shadows and all the stuff and learning so much. And it didn't take long for me to also turn the questioning to them of like, okay, who am I talking to exactly? And like, what is your world like? And how is this happening? And they were pretty forthcoming about that, but that really excited my interest in extraterrestrials, in the phenomenon, in having my own experience of something that would expand my consciousness
And you
in a
did,
way that,
right? And you did.
yeah.
Well, so what happened? What was that
Yes.
experience?
So the first real personal one was it was actually the day before I was set to head out on a road trip. And on this road trip, I was planning to go to all these kind of hot spots and stuff. And I had just said goodbye to my parents and was had gotten to where I was staying. And before I left on the road trip, I get out of the car, close the door, look up, and there's like this giant morphing light in the sky. And it's like, I just recognized it immediately. It's in part because, having been living there over this lake, I know what the like puddle jumper planes sounded like, and they were super loud and what they looked like. And this wasn't that at all. It was like pulsing, like bright pink and yellow and morphing, and it was slow and just kind of hovering there. And it seemed it kind of like I didn't fully get it till at well, so let me finish this. So I was so excited, and I watched it, and I filmed a little bit of it, and I ran outside or ran inside to not disturb the neighbors while I like jumped for joy because I had been wanting an experience like this for so long. And then I went back to the window, and so it I watched it just kind of like disappear and like pop out. And then another one showed up, or the same one, I don't know, and did the same thing like right after that. And
Wow,
so
that's fantastic.
it was a powerful.
No, it was a powerful but moment, but right before you're going to take off on your journey.
And that I think was part of the lesson for me, because I had been thinking that like I needed to go to certain hot spots like Crater Lake and Sedona and what was it, Devil's Mountain. I thought that I needed to be in a specific place for these experiences to happen. And that it just happened at home, I think, was a really important way to send me a message of like, go on your trip, go have experiences, we'll be there, but like don't imbue, give your power. You know, it's not about where you are, it's about the connection that we have. Like you can be anywhere. And I've been, some of my best sightings, I was in Portugal. You know, and it's like, and I've had sightings in California and in where I live in Tennessee, you know, in Sedona. It's like,
So can you call
it's
them
everywhere.
in? Can you kind of like be like a psionic caller in of these vehicles?
I certainly have. It's, and there was a period where like, I bought night vision goggles and I was doing this like every night. Almost, and especially when I was in Hawaii and the nights were warm and I could just like lie out there, and so I had a good record also of show giving people their first sighting experiences because it was pretty reliable for a while. You know, it was like boom, there they are,
What
and
year was that first sighting around?
2020.
Was that in Minnesota? Oh no.
That was in Massachusetts.
Oh, Massachusetts. Well, that is a big area. New England in general is a big area
Yeah.
for sightings.
Oh,
And
this was right outside my house. Yeah.
wow,
And
wonderful. And but do you get down when you're seeing a craft? Are you feeling you're in telepathic communication with the beings inside, or is it just like, oh, there it is?
sometimes, like, I know you spend a lot of time in Sedona. I feel like you can go to Sedona and just like watch the cosmic highway, you know, just like see things cruising. But the most meaningful contact I've experiences that I've had have made themselves obvious that it was just for me. You know, it's like they've waited until other people have left and shown up for me and like shown up in a way where there's no doubt. And like either in how they move, like really slow, or the hovering, or the changing, or the power ups. Kind of thing. Like I always feel like there's some communication. So yeah, especially after my experiences in Portugal, it started to dawn on me that like I wasn't just like happening across craft in the sky, or they weren't necessarily just like popping in like random, but that there was a connection between all of my sightings, and it was actually the physical expression of an energetic relationship.
Yeah, talk
That
about
seemed
that a little bit. So something in you is sort of emanating a calling or something. I mean, is that what you're, is that what's going on?
yeah, so I believe that we all have a frequential signature. And so for those who are interested, I mean, I think it's visible to everybody who has that ability to see it, particularly those at higher dimensions, but there's a few different ways to answer that. One is just we have a frequential signature. And when you're sending up the intention, I feel like that, you know, it's kind of like casting out a rod into infinity with a magnet on the end. You know, it's like, this is my intention, and whatever's resonant with that intention, you know, and if there's enough energy and alignment there, it'll come to you. But it also brings up bigger questions of like, okay, you know, on a base level, there's just the resonance that forms between like I have a desire and an intention to have a contact experience, and there's some sort of receiving or participating being or entity or energy that's like, yeah, I would like to share that experience with you as well and come in. But it kind of goes back to what I was saying in the beginning as well, is that we are all aspects of source consciousness, and we are all having ex different experiences across different planes of existence, different dimensions, different frequency bands. And so, especially when we consider that what it is to be physically human is, I think, very soon going to be shown, and many people believe this to be a mix of other quote unquote star races, or however you want to call them. You know, it's like we have the DNA of the beings that, gave rise to this experiment. And what I like to mention to people is there's, again, we tend to fall into this us them, but being all time, all space, we are the seeders. Many of us were here from the beginning. We created this for ourselves, and so I have no doubt that, you have an incarnation or experience as a Palladian, as an Arcturian, in the Orion systems. And so we share that DNA, and these relationships exist beyond the veil. So, that's where I think that term like star family comes in. And while I don't necessarily resonate with that term, I very much resonate with the concept behind it, which is that we have family, relationships, friends, bonds with beings that are just having a different experience. And we may know them from our time in the Pleiades, or in the Arcturians. And so there's a bond there. There's a quantum entanglement that's happening in contact where it's like that relationship is likely already established, and we're just bringing it into our awareness and with enough energy that it shows up in physical reality.
No, that's a great way of saying it. So right now, we're in the middle of a huge shift somehow. I mean, the sightings, we talked about that in the other show, the sightings over New Jersey, the around the world, these plasmoid things and these orbs, and something is drastically happening to human beings here on this planet, to the planet itself. And it's sort of unknown, it's sort of unraveling as it goes. So what's happening on you? What do you think is going on? Where, I mean, is this about to explode into this huge planetary awakening, or is there more subtle than that, you think? I mean, who knows?
Well,
What's
I
your
think it's
feeling?
both. I think it's both actually. There's a million opportunities a day for people to wake up. I think the telepathy tapes is a great example of, where someone who's relatively open-minded but never really thought about this stuff can hear that and go, "Whoa." And then they'll start having experiences in their lives and drawing things to themselves. The sightings, I do feel that it is part of both government disclosure but also NHI disclosure. It's like these are kind of the breadcrumbs that we've been given. And so I feel the reason I say it's both is because I feel like it's happening a little bit by bit, but like that concept of the tipping point, like at some point it becomes catalytic. It is that burst open. And I do feel, so I mentioned to you that I did this remote viewing intensive with
Birdie.
Birdie Jaworski, if I'm saying her name right, over this past weekend. It was 5 days, 8 hours a day. It was intense, but it was incredible. And I didn't, you don't get the targets or the experiences ahead of time, but and so it was very interesting to me. I drew this whole map, and the image I kept getting was from the movie E.T., where like the boy and E.T. touch fingers and there's the light. And I was also seeing like the Sistine Chapel, like man and God, but except instead of like the distance, like it came together with a light, and there was a sense of like humanity being plugged in. So I'm really excited. I feel like this, we are all at the turning of the age. This is the beginning, but it's like the golden age is upon us, and the age of contact is upon us.
The
And
age of
you can either
contact.
fight those energies or you can cooperate with
No, I
them.
love that. The age of contact is upon. I might quote you on that because
Yeah.
I totally agree with you, and something really exciting, although it's kind of been a little muffled by political
Yeah.
stuff and of course the awful fires in California, And so, but this other thing is kind of like seeping through, and a couple of directions I want to go. I want to show this tape from this guy, Jacob Barber, but I also want to ask you about how your new business is hooking into all that. So let's talk about that first. You've developed a kind of, I guess maybe corporate strategy. Talk about what your vision for working with this new phenomena practically is.
Well, I'm hoping to engage with it in a number of different ways, primarily personal, but through like a phenomenon networking group, I met a couple of other former consultants like myself, specifically like strategy and organizational change consultants, and we're all big into the UFO and NHI stuff. And I had done some work that's on my Substack, which is actually Getting Ready for the Galactic Age is the name. Doing some scenario planning of like, what is this really going to look like? And based on the premise that you don't get answers to questions you don't ask. And it's probably better to, if you want to create the future you want, better to like plan in advance kind of thing, and not end up with the future you don't. And so we were working on a project and just sort of had this thought of like, I don't think, as far as we know, this is not being talked about in the boardroom. And I come out of the electric utility industry and, we had 25-year strategic plans. And it just occurred to me of like, if you think we're not going to have disclosure or contact within the next 25 years, I think that's a pretty risky assumption. And nobody's really thinking through what the far-reaching implications and consequences are of how much this is going to change our world. And so we formed Exo Futures Consulting late last year to be a strategic planning, scenario planning, organizational planning firm to help companies think through what does this mean for us?
Well, give me an example of like what does it mean for us? Like, how would a company in the future work? I mean, everything's going to change when it really starts. So, how do you even plan to know how to strategize for something that's still unknown?
Well, I mean, correct. And this is like a scale and scope of change that goes way beyond traditional strategic and scenario planning. And so it's not that we have a crystal ball. We've just developed what we call a disclosure readiness framework that helps people start thinking, asking about those questions, asking those questions, and having the discussions of like, okay, what does this both from a risk reduction perspective, like if you're an electric utility and it's disclosed that there's a power source that's enabling intergalactic flight, or travel or, these things, what does that mean for your business model? And we may not be able to answer every question, but the idea is that by probing these things, you uncover sort of no regret strategies and proactive things of like, okay, where do I see, the human mind and the whole like worldview of our customers, of our consumers has just been blown apart. How do I meet the needs of that customer?
Exactly. Doesn't it put the utility companies out of business? Let's say there's a free energy device everyone would have in their home. I mean, which is probably coming. I can feel that, but there's a lot of companies will be very upset, which is why I think there is such a secret, because they know that day is coming and they want to suppress the zero point energy technologies that will make their trillions of dollar companies obsolete. So I guess they have to plan for that. So you're going to help these big businesses plan for that transition. Is that it?
And it's not always, we can't promise that every company's going to thrive, but better to
Be
in
prepared.
business school, like there's the example of sort of a classic business study of like Netflix and Blockbuster. It's like Blockbuster didn't take seriously the disruption that Netflix represents. It's famously reported that like the people who invented Netflix went to Blockbuster to try to like sell them on that idea, and Blockbuster was like, ah, that'll never happen. People don't want that, and now can you go to a Blockbuster? No.
Well,
So
it keeps happening throughout here. I mean, I've tracked that throughout history. Like, what's his name who invented the steam engine went to Napoleon and said, I can make your ships travel upstream, and all you have to do is light a fire under the deck. And he said, I have no time for that nonsense. And so there's lots of case studies. So the thing is, what's coming now that we still think is not possible that will make our technologies obsolete? I mean, what do you see exo consciously?
I think it's going to affect every sector and every industry. It's like medical. And I think some of these industries, frankly, are ripe for disruption, we'll just use healthcare, for example. The current model's basically based on treating symptoms and an incomplete understanding of the human body and how disease and illness manifests. Well, say, through our understanding of consciousness and subtle realms and the power of thought, paired with, technologies that we hear about that are more vibrational in nature, frequential, that work with the energies of the body, things like big pharma, look way different. And you start bringing up self-healing capabilities. So, if I was in the medical profession, the big pharma, I would want to understand what that could mean for my business and how I might need to shift, or anticipate the needs of that. And similarly, as like an electric utility, without knowing really the details, there's certainly a scenario where I think this happens over time, and there's probably going to need to be some kind of device that's harnessing the zero point energy, and maybe there is some kind of transition where utilities, instead of being, and this has been talked about for a while, like purely a commodity provider, that it's more a service provider. If they were to actually, I don't know if this is going to happen, but if they were to actually embrace a service model and say, okay, granted, we have to deal with stranded assets associated with all these power plants we've built and transmission that are no longer needed. But, there will be probably expertise and equipment needed even for so-called free energy.
Have you talked to Rebecca Hardcastle, Exo Consciousness? Do you know who she is?
No, somebody mentioned her recently. Maybe it was you, but.
No, I don't think I did because I just thought
Oh.
of you talking to her. She has a whole Exo Consciousness model for society. I will connect you to her. She's very brilliant and has thought about some of these things more from a social aspect as opposed to a business aspect. But she's a great person, very intelligent, and really thought about the exo consciousness model for society and fits in right with what you're saying there. So I'm so happy you're thinking along those lines. And maybe that's why you've been contacted in a sense to, I mean, contacted on those other levels because you're here to plan the future. Do you get that sense too, that part of your mission is to do that from?
I do feel like I was sort of guided on my path to build those skills to be able to apply them in this way potentially. But I'm sort of a adventurous, entrepreneurial kind of person. So it's like this is where my excitement is right now. But I do feel like there are probably even bigger things waiting to unfold in the years to come
Like
that have
what?
probably.
What do you suspect? I mean, if you want to, you don't have to share, but like, what do
Yeah,
you?
no, it's fine. So it was actually interesting in the again in the remote viewing piece. I'm doing my map, and then it's I'm drawing. I'm taken back to like the Discovery Museum that I went to as a child, and like the Boston Science Museum, and like there was this sense of new worlds and discovery and excitement and adventure and wonder and like this going into the new. So I like drew a bunch of stuff related to that, and like an actual rocket going to another world. But I also, the last thing I drew was a collection of beings surrounded by kind of a golden portal with all these hearts around it, and like my hand holding a bouquet of flowers. And the reveal of what the target was our purpose in life. And
Oh, it wasn't an
so,
actual thing, the target. It was more like a in
yeah, part of what Birdie does, and I love this approach because it's really resonant with the kind of information that I want to draw from the field, is like more meaning and concepts. I mean, she does the like, what's this picture, you know, of an elephant
Right.
balancing on a ball kind of thing. But this was
But
like,
that's
what is your subconscious? What is the field feeding into you? And so,
oh.
long way of me saying, you know, deep in my subconscious and my conscious, I mean, this is an active wish, is to be part of this really civilization catalyzing, changing epoch of contact.
Well,
And
you are part of it. You're
I
in.
am, yeah, I'm in it, but there's no telling where that can go. And I do hold an aspiration for physical contact, face-to-face physical contact. And I think that's part of what I'm building toward. You know, these, whether it's, we call it remote viewing or channeling or this kind of connection, I'm building a familiarity with their energy, you know?
Right, you know,
So,
yes. What were you going to say? Sorry.
well, it's just, you know, I don't think we'll cover it in probably the clip that you're going to talk about, but like some people do talk, like Jake Barber, about how he was injured, presumably by this exposure to this craft, though it's a little unclear. I don't think they actually know what was like in the crate where, but you know, some people talk about, and it just makes sense that when you encounter something that your body recognizes as so foreign and like literally not of this world, you know, and like not just from your view of reality, but actually from like a frequency perspective, you know, it can be incredibly destabilizing. And I think part of what a lot of us, the journey that we're on, is building an energetic familiarity so that when we do come face to face, it doesn't feel foreign.
Well, yes, you know, in my book, Daryl Anka, who channels Bashar, wrote a chapter, and I asked him because I to write this part in the chapter because I heard him talk about it, about how when he had a dream of meeting Bashar and his ship, this huge fear and panic took over him, and he had to just stop. And even in my experiences, like they haven't been in like an ordinary state of reality, but when I've met these beings, my whole perception of reality felt distorted. I mean, some people call it the Oz effect. So there's a distortion in the field. And that's why I always talk about Whitley Strieber, who's done so much meditation practice. He can be in the presence of these other beings and not be destabilized because he has a kind of inner kind of, a feeling of awareness. He's practiced this sentience. He's practiced this observer consciousness. So you should talk to him sometime. He's a fascinating guy, and he's really has a awareness of how to meet these other beings on their playing field. But you're right. We have to practice that lucidity in order to be in the presence, and it does take a building up of energetics somehow. I think you're right.
And I think, again, just that perspective of like, these are just other divine playmates showing up in our reality. Really, we are all the same. I mean, we're different forms of consciousness having different experiences, but at the end of the day, there is no difference between us. We are all consciousness.
I
That
agree.
is the fundamental primary element, the indivisible, and we all come from that. We all are that. So it's just a matter of working with your frequency a little bit to get comfortable with.
It's a huge thing, though. I mean, yeah, it's like we're so distracted and caught up with the collective social consciousness that really keeps us limited in a way when we're in the field of social consciousness. If you're living in the city or people you're with, it kind of filters through the walls here, you know, sometimes. It's also, that's why I like New York, because it's a very creative place and people are into creativity, but it's also other levels of, you know, limit and, you know, so it's a balance, but I understand what you're saying. It's such a strange place we're in because yes, it's about increasing frequencies, but we have to let go of something that's been holding us in the human realm. And Jake Barber, who I want to show this clip of, actually does that. He actually, or it wasn't his choice, but he kind of taps into this realm. So I'm going to show this clip from this recent whistleblower, this is Ross Coulter on News Nation, and this is a whistleblower. Everyone's complaining, well, where's the people who've actually seen the craft? This guy Jake Barber, who was a helicopter pilot, picked up this crashed UFO, and he's going to tell us about how he felt when he did pick that up. So this is Jake Barber. He was on recently the News Nation, and he came out with this confession of his experience. And I want you to, Carolyn, to comment on what you think is going on with him, who was interviewed by Ross Coulter, and he is the first-hand experiencer to come forward and blow the whistle on his direct experience on a governmental side. I mean, people have talked about that for years, but government person to come forward with a direct experience of his UFO UAP contact.
This is one of the most profound experiences I've ever had in my life. I'm about to share with you, so bear with me. So as I get closer to this pic site, I start feeling odd. I start feeling extremely emotional. I feel this intense hybrid of sadness and happiness and beauty and song.
He is approaching this craft, and he's a regular, you know, normal guy. He doesn't think about these things, and he's just full of emotion. Why does that happen sometime when you're in the contact with these beings, you think?
I think there's something profoundly moving about experiencing something that feels both like so foreign and familiar. Like I can only describe, I don't mean he's the expert on his experience, but I think it's really common for people to feel a sense of like awe and homecoming. Honestly, it's
Right.
like something that they, it's partly why, yeah, I cry a lot too, because it's just sort of this remembering and this homecoming and the experience of something that is dwelling or emitting higher frequencies that is a field of love, I think.
Wow.
And
You've had that same experience, huh?
yeah, not in this context for sure, but in
Well,
my own way.
thank you for sharing that. Okay, I'm going to go back to the videotape.
And I began wondering what was wrong with me. It was late. Am I distressed? Am I tired? I don't know. But as I came over this object for the pic, it was this overwhelming sense of emotion. I felt like something connected with me. I felt like something had tuned in to me and my soul and was providing me some sense of guidance on what to do and how profound what I was doing was. And it was so overwhelming that I began to cry. And then I'm confused as to why I'm crying at the same time. And then I'm, do I abort the mission? Do I? And I, so I just did my best to focus on my particular cues when doing this type of work. And I got the load hooked up and I began flying away. And once it was just me and that object in between the pick and the drop site, there's about 20 miles in between. I felt like something was inside of me. I felt like I was possessed by the most beautiful spirit I'd ever been possessed by. And
Was it loving?
it was loving. But there was a sense of sadness at the same time. And no, it was a very feminine energy, I'll tell you that. It felt like the spirit of God. But not in any masculine sense. And it wasn't like a soul, it was like a frequency that I was connected with. And whatever that force was since that night, it has stayed with me. And as crazy as this sounds, it's what's guiding me now. And it's what's providing protection for me.
It's changed your life.
It's changed my life.
Wow, I think that's so intense. That is the most intense kind of testimony by someone inside the government I've ever heard. Isn't it amazing?
I actually gasped when I was watching that, because I was like, wow, this is really happening, that somebody is sharing their personal experience with the phenomenon on, pretty much mainstream news. And that it was the way he framed it honestly and personally too, about what it meant to him. And I think a lot of people can identify, I've had that direct experience multiple times, and I think a lot of people have, and if they haven't, it's coming, where it really is that sense of being awashed in a love that is sadly not very present on earth, called it, I think, the spirit of God. And so now it's like it's part of my practice in communicating with them, and how I know that these beings are with me, because I feel the energy in my body. And at a low level, it kind of feels like shivers without being cold. It's just like this gentle permeating, but it is. It's, I mean, I really resonate to what he said. It's hard to put words to it, but there's just sort of a knowing and a comfort and a closeness. And yeah, just that sense of like coming home to yourself, but coming home to the larger reality. Some of what people describe through near-death experiences when they're on the other side of the veil. And I think it's a glimpse into the true nature of reality. Again, we're it's hard for people to get a grasp on this, but through the consciousness lens, this physical experience that we're having is not actually physical. It's a perception driven by energy and frequency. And we've set up kind of rules of the game so that we can have this experience. It's the experience that we wanted to have. But those moments when we're able to transcend it, or like peel it open to experience ourselves and our true nature and the nature of reality in a more direct and visceral way, it is one of the most profound experiences you can have in your life. And it is entirely, it is, it's just this, it's a physical sensation, but it's also just like this energetic hug where everything, like even if just for a moment, everything makes sense, and you belong, and there's meaning, and
But
it's not all a game.
how did you bring those things on, or do you just happen, or do you do something to get into that state where you can make that connection to your soul?
The first couple times it just sort of happened. And it did happen, if I'm remembering correctly, more in the context of channeling, like receiving information through another channel, but being, you know, connected, directed. And it was like, you know, when they were, it was kind of their way of saying, like, we love you kind of thing. A notable experience was I went to a conference with Kryon, channeled by Lee Carroll this past summer. And Kryon guided us on a meditation that was connecting us to our original self, or what some people call higher self. And again, I think we're sort of conditioned to think of ourselves as these like lowly little beings, like lost in this planet. But this meditation, through it, it's like I observed myself as my higher self. And it was like I was, and the energy of it to connect to the energy of that magnitude, to understand myself as the energy that's behind, like, however many incarnations, that's holding together the physical world that I see in the room around me, you know, that's existed across time, across space, and all different things, and all for the sake of contributing to the expansion and the exploration of potential and of consciousness. It was just, it almost knocked me out of my chair. And I did start crying because it was just, it was loving, but it's like, it wasn't like that. That's not even really the right word. It was just like an experience of all that is, of like, yeah, of reaching beyond the veil and like grasping. I have these moments sometimes where it's like, I see that there is no, I understand from the perspective of that intelligence that assembling everything in my life, that the things that look like random, linear cause and effect things are actually not. They're all assembled through consciousness to my awareness in a given moment. Right. And it's, you know, you had asked me earlier sort of how that transformed my life, completely changed the way I live my life, because it's like knowing that consciousness is how everything materializes in my world means that I can divorce myself from notions like I have to work to make money. I mean, right. I do some of those things when it's my joy to do that, but it's like in the moment, it'll all be there. Like you send out your intention, the waves, and you receive, you know, what's an energetic match to that. And so it's why I'm not saying I never have moments of fear. I do go through some of that stuff, but it's like you start to realize that you never have to worry. And I'll just say, I don't want to speak for Jake. I cannot speak for Jake, but sometimes where the sadness comes in, that where I've experienced is, you realize how much of your life you've given away to worry, and to worry about things like time and money and pleasing other people and being accepted. And so there's just, I mean, you have to work through it. It's all part of the journey of where you got there. But yeah, some of the sadness is just like, look what I've been missing out on. And so like those people leaving critical comments, skeptical comments in the telepathy tapes, it's like, I feel bad for you. Look at how small your world is. You know, look at all the wonder and the magnificence that you're missing out on.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. You know, imagine if what happened to you and this guy, Jake Barber, would be like a wave that just washed through the planet. Do you think that's coming? Do you think that like everyone's breaking down in tears and crying over the joy of existence. And I mean, is that like a fantasy or is that like a possibility?
I've met a lot of people who have had similar, you know, we call them kind of transcended experiences. I do think it's coming, and that's part of why I loved that News Nation and that they included that clip, because he just seeded that potential for the millions of people who will watch that.
Right.
You know, for people who have either experienced it, it sort of awakens that memory for them. But it also just gave people an idea of what's possible. And so I think that's part of how this works. And again, how this becomes a momentum that reaches a tipping point where, you know, there will always be some people who are just like, who'd rather die than like literally would rather die and will probably before accepting this new reality. But for the people who are more open to it, like, you know, it just takes a crack. It just takes a little seed.
You know, and it's such a joyous time. I mean, people rather hold on to their old beliefs than walk into this world of miracles and magic and higher consciousness and greater technologies and all these things that people get attached to. And, you know, I'm not saying this is what it's about, but the LA fires, that's a lot of letting go when you have everything, you know. And
yeah,
I mean, it's not pleasant. And, you know, it's a huge acceleration. I mean, that didn't quite happen to me, but I did sort of move when I was younger and felt like I had lost everything. And then it does kind of wake you up to this bigger reality that maybe we're part of something bigger here than our small world. So you think.
And I don't mean to suggest that it's like, you know, I'm not naive to all the stuff going on in the world. And I do think it's going to be a little bit of a rocky road, you know, as our old systems crumble. That's never usually I think this is kind of unprecedented for us, but it wouldn't, I mean, we're not seeing it go smoothly. Like the old systems will fight to the end. And part of what I like to do in my writing is like balance. I'm all about the consciousness. I have, you know, I think a great optimism comes from that perspective that I hold. But I also, you know, I write about control structures. And like one of my big things is like to make it kind of grandiose is like the liberation of humanity, you know, and some of that is rejecting and dismantling the control structures that have been in place. And I feel like we cannot, you know, we cannot clear what we aren't willing to confront. And so whether it's fires and it, you know, it'll manifest in our physical world, because our physical world is largely a reflection of our own consciousness. But there are some really dark things and horrible things that we're going to need to deal with as a collective and move through and beyond to really fully step into this new world. We can't just bypass and sweep under the rug stuff that's happened, because if it's happened and we're here, we're complicit in it in some way.
Right.
And so I just do my best now from a place of consciousness and awareness to not contribute my frequency to things like, you know, political divisions and, you know, gossiping about other people and, you know, just think. And that's why it's unfortunate that the UFO space, like if you go on
Twitter,
UFO Twitter. Yeah.
I know it's
really
vicious.
Low vibe. Yeah,
but really I get a lot of information there. But also, that's just humans. You know, humans are just like that, at least that level of human. So I don't know. It's not like I expect it, but it's like, okay, they're just being human in their human way. And there's also this other messages that come through. But you're right. So we are in a huge awakening, time of awakening. So I know we've been on for a while, but just to wrap up, because we could talk for a long time about all this, yeah. But how do you think, because you've written about this on your Substack, the Coming Galactic Age, how you think disclosure is going to unfold? I know you have many different options, but, and I want to do a special panel about this, but how do you mm-hmm. think, just for people watching now, the disclosure of whatever we got here is going to, from the government, I mean, it's disclosing for us, but how do you think it's going right. to come down from the top down in this way?
Well, it's an interesting question. And I know there are a lot of different theories yeah. on that and a lot of hope right now. I do feel like there are people with positive intentions from within the government that are trying to get this information out. And I believe there are also factions that are trying to stop it. I think we've seen that. I'm encouraged by the things like the House Intelligence Committee?
Yes.
With Nancy Mace and things like that. I mean, they're asking some pretty deep questions, not necessarily getting, the American public isn't necessarily hearing the most transparent answers, but I do feel like the government is trying to take us on, or at least has been trying to take us through like a controlled disclosure, drip, mm-hmm. drip, drip process. I don't see this as something that they can control, mm-hmm. both from the aspect that they may have some agreements, but I agree with what Steve Bassett had mentioned on the other show that, the government's kind of painted into a corner here. Mm-hmm. They have some agency in this, but not all. So it's a big question, I think, what now President Trump is going to do. I do believe people have said he's been briefed. I do think, even though he hasn't been very forthcoming at this point, I do feel like he has information. And I guess just the big question is whether he's going to sort of live up to his reputation and live up to his promises and start exposing some of this stuff.
Right. No, I know there's no answer, or it just.
Yeah.
But I think
the current path is not sustainable, though. So I do feel like within the next 4 years and potentially sooner, there's a lot of stuff that needs to come out. So it's like, how does this fit in? If to the extent there is a big plan, how does this fit in? And also, it's like, again, the government's kind of at the mercy of what these other beings want to do. This is their show. So that's why it's interesting. And I do follow the government stuff, but it's like, this is a profound moment for humanity and these other civilizations. And I hope, and I get the sense that they're not gonna, do the bidding or bend the knee to the government. It's like, they'll hopefully approach us in a way that we all can have a personal experience of it, or many of us.
I think you're right. And I think that is what's happening. This is what the sightings in New Jersey, the drones, mm-hmm. people are having a personal experience. So I think what you're saying stimulates for me is that it's a people's movement. It's up to us. We can't expect those inside government to come forward, because they have the most to defend and lose. They talk about national security. Well, the security that is threatened is their security as overlords, as controllers,
and
that's the threat to security. So this is a planetary event. It's going to unfold. It's happening, and it's very exciting, because it's about an energy field like you're talking about, like Jacob Barber saying, like other people are feeling. It's an energetic ascension. I'll use that word. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Carolyn. How do people find you, and how do you want to connect with people and all that?
Yeah. Well, I'd love to direct people to my Substack, thegalacticage.substack.com. I do phenomenon related writings there. I also offer on my website, carolynbroulard.com. That's tied more to my coaching and healing. And I have blogs there that are more focused on personal transformation and growth, and some more personal stories about some of the things that I've learned along the way and continue to learn. So I'd say those are the best ways to get in touch. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I absolutely love talking about this stuff, and I love hearing people's experiences. And, you know, we're all making a contribution to this in one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And I am so excited lately to see the convergence of, like, you know, I'll write something on Substack and then someone will see it and message me. And it's like, oh, I just wrote about that too. And it's like, there's no competition here. It's like, at least in my mind, it's more the merrier. It's like, we are enacting a, like you said, a planetary shift here. So there's room for everybody to get involved in whatever way speaks to them.
You're right. Thanks for your work. I appreciate your time and being here and talking to Carolyn Broulard and Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. Thank you for watching.